Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Wednesday, January 24th, and we're going to hashtag start podcasting right now about the All-Star snubbing, as we'll be joined later by the originator of the hashtag start writing bit on Twitter. But this is your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account too. And we got a Facebook page now that you can follow at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook as well. We're looking ahead again a bit to the Utah Jazz game, who are in town tonight on Wednesday night in Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. And I'm going to give my thoughts on the Andre Drummond All-Star snub as well. And a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Rod Beard of the Detroit News, the Pistons beat writer. We're going to be talking about Andre Drummond being left off the All-Star team, in addition to other Pistons topics as well. But fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people that have downloaded the Draft app agree too. Plan a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOPISTONS. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOPISTONS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're offering Locked On Pistons fans a money back guarantee of up to $100. And I got the draft started for Draft Wednesday, which is tonight. So get on there. Follow me at Matt Shook on the app as well. Use promo code LOPISTONS when you do sign up. And if you follow me, I'll invite you into our private contest that we do every Wednesday. So definitely follow us and find us on the app. And as we mentioned at the top, the Pistons will be playing host to the Utah Jazz on Wednesday, 7 o'clock game at home in downtown Detroit. Detroit actually favored by 2 points, as they are 4 games ahead of the Utah Jazz in the standings. Somehow, despite the 5-game losing streak, Las Vegas has a little bit of confidence in the Pistons to rebuild here. And the Utah Jazz are going through similar problems right now. They've lost 6 out of their last nine games. And Rudy Gobert is back, is the good news for the Utah Jazz. He's missed games for 2 long stretches so far this year, but he just came back. He's played in the last 3 games. He's kind of the rim protector of the future. He was all NBA and all defensive team last year, but interestingly enough, he did not make the All-Star game. So you have Andre Drummond coming off of his All-Star snub on Tuesday night, and Gobert, although he couldn't really make an argument for making the team this year with all the time he's missed, he's trying to rebuild his season. So a couple of players that have bad taste in their mouths right now at this given time, trying to kind of repatch things and look to hopefully leading their teams to the playoffs. So the Jazz, a little bit of a pipe dream for them to return back to Eastern Conference playoff contention. Kind of one of those stuck in between teams right now with Gobert's injury, with Gordon Hayward leaving in the offseason. They knew they might be in for a little bit of a retooling. Right now, Rodney Hood is out with a leg injury. He may not play against Detroit, so he's missed, I think, the last 1 game in a row, and he's kind of questionable going into Wednesday's game. What's interesting about him is he's a name that's being thrown around in the trade market as well, as he's, if the Jazz are looking to acquire future assets, then Rodney Hood might be a guy who would entice some contenders to sell a little bit for his services. But speaking of future assets, Donovan Mitchell, the rookie out of Louisville, he's been a big-time player. He'll be in contention for Rookie of the Year if he keeps this pace up with Ben Simmons of the 76ers. Mitchell was picked 13th in the draft by Denver, 1 pick right after Luke Kennard, and he was traded on draft night to the Utah Jazz. He's getting 19 points per game right now. If you're a Pistons fan, surely you've heard about him and are dreading me talking about him on this podcast a little bit. He's a great defensive player as well. And man, that's frustrating if you are a Pistons fan. It's one thing for a player that you passed up in the draft to turn into what they could have been in 3-4 years down the road, maybe even 2 years. But for him to be getting All-Star consideration as a rookie, scoring 30 points a few times by Christmas, man, not a good look for Stan Van Gundy there. As far as the Drummond snub, he didn't get in the All-Star game. He was trying for his second appearance. He made it a couple years ago when the Pistons were a playoff team. He didn't get in this is voting done by the Eastern Conference coaches to vote on these seven reserves that would make the team. The guys that did make it from the Eastern Conference were Al Horford of the Boston Celtics, Kevin Love of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks as far as the front court players. The back court players were Indiana's Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry of the Raptors, and then the Washington Wizards' full backcourt of John Wall and Bradley Beal. It's hard to argue that Andre Drummond would get in over any of the front court players in the team, but it's not like the coaches were under restrictions to put in certain numbers of front court and back court guys. Obviously, you'd assume they'd probably want three of each, but to see that there were four backcourt players, you could probably infer that maybe one of those spots at least was a wild card position that Andre Drummond could have gotten over some of those guys, especially Kyle Lowry possibly. And John Wall is the one that sticks out to me. He's missed some time with injury. The Wizards have been largely disappointing. They're back in the playoff hunt and you know, in the firmly into the Eastern Conference playoffs right now, and smacked around the Pistons the other night, and have all season in three matchups where they've swept him in three games so far this season. But hey, you know, John Wall is more of an established player than Andre Drummond. The Washington Wizards are a team that made the Eastern Conference semifinals last year, so obviously, you know, tie goes to the record as far as those guys sometimes. Some understandable arguments for all sorts of guys, including Andre Drummond. And like I said, I would have put Andre Drummond on there over a couple of those guys, including John Wall, but I understand the omission of Andre. It's hard to be an all-star. My biggest point on Twitter on Tuesday night was it's hard to be an all-star when you're a non-scoring player like Andre Drummond is, unless your team is having an excellent season. Andre is getting 14.3 points per game, which is 78th in the league-wide points per game right now. And really, you got to admit and you got to know this, that all stats aren't created equally. If you aren't filling it up in a scorer's league right now, you're a little bit behind the eight ball right now. So I know he's the best rebounder in the NBA, and I know there's defensive stats which suggest that he's even one of the best defensive players in the NBA. And I know that's not true, but and again, that speaks to a little bit of the weakness of defensive advanced stats right now. But he's far, far below all the selected all-stars in points per game except for two of them, and those are the ones that he scored more than. But those guys are Al Horford of Boston and Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. And what do those guys have in common? Well, they're a product of team considerations, as they are each on the best teams in their respective conferences. And both of those guys have reputations that they have enough intangibles as part of their games to help their teams win. And the proof is right there in the standings. And they could be back. Those two teams and two players could be going against each other in the NBA Finals this year, even further proving that point. In fact, if you ask most NBA fans, they would probably say that the Celtics and the Warriors are likely going to be the Finals matchup, although you obviously can't count out LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially if they figure out something defensively or make some adjustments here at the trade deadline. When I saw last week the Charles Barkley on the TNT Inside the NBA show after they announced the starters, they were kind of throwing around their reserve choices. We talked about this last week a little bit. But he had Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond both making it as Eastern Conference reserves, and that was on Thursday night. As a Detroit sports fan, my guard kind of went up, and I actually believed that neither would make it. And part of it is because of those guys maybe taking away a little bit of the consideration from each other, as Tobias being the offensive leader and Andre Drummond being kind of the leader in many other ways for the Pistons, although not really a vocal leader either, kind of an aloof guy still at times, as far as his personality isn't really something that's going to be attracting TV ratings in the All-Star game. And I know the coaches are the ones that are voting on this, so it's not like the players or the fans are making choices based on things that they want. You would think that the coaches are out there getting winning players. But like I said, winning players, the proof is in the pudding for guys like Al Horford and Draymond Green and the histories that guys like Kyle Lowry, John Wall, and Bradley Beal have as far as teams that have had more success collectively than the Pistons and Andre Drummond as an individual as well. But we're going to be talking to Rod Beard of the Detroit News about this and more about the Detroit Pistons here on Locked On Pistons after this. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that demo, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes! And now we are being joined by Rod Beard, the Detroit News beat writer for the Pistons. You can find him on Twitter at Det News, D-E-T News, Rod Beard. Rod, we're taping this on Tuesday night after the Eastern Conference and all the All-Star reserves were named, and Andre Drummond was snubbed, if you want to call it a snub. What do you think about that, and what's been your reaction to the news that Andre Drummond will not be an All-Star this year?
Yeah, I think it is a snub, and you look at what he's done, leading the league in rebounding, raising his assist to a career high, and still averaging about 14 points. And the biggest issue for me is you get Al Horford there, you get Kevin Love that are the bigs that were chosen, the front court guys. And Porzingis I don't have as much of an issue with, but those guys, are they having great years? No. Are they having career best years like maybe Drummond is? Probably not, but what it comes down to very often is what your team record is. When the Pistons started 14-6, it looked like they would have one All-Star certainly, but maybe even two with Tobias Harris or Avery Bradley. And now that they've gone down in the tubes a little bit and just haven't been able to win games in this last little stretch, I think they're 8-17 in their last 25 since that 14-6. They just you lose a little bit of that credibility and respect in the league, guys. What I thought that Drummond maybe had going for him was that the coaches were voting, and the coaches kind of see those little things that maybe the fans and the players may not see that he's doing and how much more of an integral part of the offense he is. And I thought they would reward him for it, but by and large, they decided to go a different direction.
Do you think that in some ways that Tobias Harris's emergence, especially early on in the season, maybe hurt Andre Drummond a little bit with teams looking at the Pistons having maybe two guys that are kind of leading the way in some ways?
Maybe a little bit, but it is, I don't know if they're even going to release the coaches' votes, but I think it's more of Drummond against the other big men that were there. You certainly want to you want to try to give something to the Celtics for the start that they've had and the best record in the Eastern Conference. And you start getting into they deserve two starters for that, much like the Wizards got, much like Toronto got, that those top teams deserve to have two starters. And maybe that's what it ended up being with Kevin Love being that second one for the Cavs as well, that there's that feeling of deserving to have more than one or a certain number based off your standing. But given that, Porzingis getting that nod ahead of Drummond is just one of those calls. Maybe Porzingis is a better player, but I'd question more those other two with Horford and Love getting the spot ahead of Drummond on that call.
And Andre Drummond vocal on Twitter about the snub, so maybe Pistons fans can hope that this will motivate him going forward, and especially going into Wednesday night, the Pistons will host the Utah Jazz, and the big story will be going into that one, Donovan Mitchell, who the Pistons had a chance to draft and went with Luke Kennard instead. You wrote about this on DetNews.com today about how it maybe came down to three-pointers. Stan Van Gundy seemed to duck that question a little bit when you asked it to him, but do you think that's basically what it came down to, two real good players, and Luke could knock it down from three a little bit better?
For me, I thought it was precisely that, because you got Kennard shooting 44% from three in college at Duke, and then this year he's doing the same thing in the league, so that it's something that carried over very much, and you can see where the Pistons needed that. And this is when they drafted Kennard, it was before they got Galloway, before they were able to trade for Bradley, before they got Tolliver or Bullock. So you knew their biggest issue was, where are they going to get this three-point shooting from? They thought they were going to have KCP, who was around a 36-37% shooter from three, so they needed that. And that was the biggest area of need, and they took the best three-point shooter that was in the draft. I don't necessarily fault them for that. I would guess that they were neck and neck, Kennard and Mitchell were, on the Pistons board, and they just went with the guy that they thought would help them more immediately at the time. And again, they built around that with some of their free agency signings and getting Bullock and Tolliver, and then being able to trade for Bradley. So they addressed some of that issue a little bit later. But at the time, that was the biggest need they had, and I didn't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's played well. So obviously, Pistons fans, while you're yearning sometimes for all the things that Donovan Mitchell does, you can't be too upset with what Luke Kennard has done so far with his rookie season with the Pistons. But February 8th, we've got the trade deadline coming up a few weeks away. Do you think it's possible that the Pistons kind of play out these next couple weeks until the deadline, and maybe their plans might change a little bit on January 23rd to February 7th, 8th, that time frame? Do you think it's possible that the Pistons are going to kind of
wait and see on a couple things and how these next couple weeks go before they make some kind of buy or major buy or a little bit of a sell type decision before that deadline?
Yeah, see, I think this is where the hard part comes in, that they, I think they know what they have. It's only a case of can it get a little bit better, that they're running a little bit better offense, and can they get stops when they need them. But the real issue is trying to buy anything. On one hand, you think the prices start to go up a little bit the closer you get to the deadline, and more teams that are desperate and trying to pick up something because they were fruitless in their other efforts. The other piece of it is, do the Pistons really have the pieces that they need to go out and make a real impact on the trade market? Can they get a Kemba Walker, who now seems to be off the market? Can they go out and get somebody who really makes a difference for them and pushes them instead of trying to stretch and get to the sixth spot that they're two games out of right now? Can they try to stretch and get to the four or five spot, which is where they were just a couple of weeks ago? That's the bigger question. And you got to look at, what are their assets? What do other teams see as values on their roster? Certainly Kennard, maybe Stanley Johnson, Henry Ellenson could be for a certain team if they see something in him. But are you willing to give those things up to get something uncertain back in return? You don't know what you're getting in some of these guys. And Kemba Walker is a good case, because that's somebody who certainly helps your roster, because he plays the pick and roll just as well as Reggie Jackson does. And he's a guy who can go out and just get buckets when you need buckets. And Jackson, coming back from that sprained ankle, may not be until the middle of February before he gets the go-ahead to start doing basketball stuff again. And then it might take him 2 weeks to get back up to basketball speed and conditioning. You're talking about the beginning of March before he's really able to help you anymore. And obviously with the trade deadline before that, Pistons are going to do something. They've got to make a decision before that. And that's a really tight spot for them to be in. Do you try to buy with maybe not great assets? Do you try to sell, which essentially means the end of this era, and you're probably, Stan Van Gundy would be gone if that's the manifesto that you're going to sell? And then do you just stay pat? Do you hope that Reggie Jackson comes back the way that he was and he gives them the boost that they need? Maybe they look at these next four, five, six games. They've got eight games before the trade deadline. They look at these next few and say, hey, if we win 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5, maybe that dictates what it is. That's a small sample size to just draw from it and make a bigger conclusion out of. But I would be surprised if they were going to do something. I would think they would do it sooner than later.
Talking with Rod Beard of the Detroit News, the beat writer for the paper there. He's also written about all sorts of all the other teams in Michigan sports as well, and you can find him on Twitter at DET News Rod Beard as well. You did a video this week or late last week with Wojo and John Neal, where you guys talked about the lack of identity that the Pistons have. Now, what do you think they do to kind of change that? Do you think that they, is that a personnel type decision, or is that something where, you know, the front office has to take a look at what you have and what you can kind of build on? Do you think, is there a way that you can kind of foster that? Has that kind of been one of the things that Stan Van Gundy has not been able to do in his time as the head of the front office, president of the Pistons so far?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a front office deal or if it is more the team itself. Like, what, when you buy a ticket, if you're a common fan and you go and buy a ticket, what are you buying a ticket to see? Is it a team that runs? You want to see a three-point barrage? You want to see a great defensive team? You knew what you had with the going-to-work Pistons and with the bad boy Pistons. There was a marketing thing that you could go to and say, this is what this team is. I don't really know what this team is right now. They don't play great defense. They're not an Andre Drummond post-up team. They're not a three-point shooting team. They're not a running team. It's really hard to put a finger on exactly what they do well. They're just a team that's there. So you have to try to build around something. I think that was part of the reason they did the Avery Bradley deal, was to try to establish a defensive identity. And that hasn't really stuck either. Drummond, as I said, is playing a little bit better on the defensive end, but he doesn't have everybody on the same page with them. This isn't a top five defensive team that just comes in and shuts teams down night after night after night. In a couple of the games last week, they gave up season highs in points in back-to-back games, the 118 and then the 122 right after it, and then the last shot to Spencer Dinwiddie. So it's really tough to just put a finger on who you're watching, what you're paying to go and see. When you buy a ticket, what exactly do you get, and what are you going to see on a night-to-night basis? I think those are big questions that anytime you're part of an organization, you want to see a mission statement, you want to see a common goal that everybody is driving toward. And there just isn't that right now. I don't see that, and they haven't established that from a roster standpoint either.
Now, Rod, you've kind of been one of the better social media follows on Twitter. You get the Start Writing hashtag, and I know you've turned that into a cottage industry of sorts. It's kind of one of your things is that you'll throw it out there when the game looks like it's going to be over. I think you said the Super Bowl with the Patriots last year was the one time that you maybe got that wrong. Is that right?
Yeah, that was the only time. Only time.
And then you got the My Own Eye Test Index as well. I mean, you have a lot of fun with fans on there. You've been with the news for over about 10 years now. How much has that social media and the interaction, the back and forth with fans changed your job? And talk about some of the positives and a little bit of the negatives that comes along with that sometimes.
Well, it started with the Michigan beat, and I covered Michigan for 5 years, and this is my third year with the Pistons. Before that, I had done a little bit of everything, general assignment stuff, covering some Lions and everything else. But the social media aspect just comes from when you're writing a story, you're trying to target a specific person that knows X amount. And that's the way that I try to write. Hey, what am I going to tell this person? And that's some kind of conglomeration of all of these fans. And so I try to have fun with them, try to be informative, and try not to argue, because arguing really never gets anything done on Twitter. It's more that interaction of, I'm here to inform, I'm here to educate, and I'm here to listen. What are the gripes that you have? And that can inform some of the questions that I ask when I meet with the players or talk to Stan Van Gundy. How am I the best conduit with information going in each direction? When the team announces something, I get that out to fans. When the fans have questions or they're frustrated about something, how do I get that back to the team and get those things answered? That's the best way that I can view the social media stuff. And then within all of that, in a game, you're essentially reporting what you see and observations and whatever else, but I wanted to add something that was a little bit more fun. And the Start Writing just began as here's the point that I'm going to start writing my game story, so I can't interact on Twitter very much anymore. So that's what it initially was, is, hey, leave me alone. I'm writing a story now, so I'm not going to be able to interact. And then it turned into kind of this fun thing of, hey, the game's over now, so here's the point that the game is over, and I usually put the score with it so people know. And again, it's been very scientific almost, and you don't want to do it too early. You don't want to get it wrong. The fun of it is that there's only been that one time in the Super Bowl last year where I did get it wrong. So it's kind of this completeness. It's kind of this official stamp on when a game is done. So it's been fun for me to try to interact with folks that way. And then the My Own Eye Test is, there's advanced statistics for everything. I saw one today about, here's how many minutes John Wall has been standing still and the rest of the team. So there's a stat for everything. But My Own Eye Test is you can give me an advanced stat for everything, but I'll tell you what I see. I see that Andre Drummond is an all-star. The Moed Index will tell you that. And you don't need numbers. You don't need a lot of other fancy advanced stats to tell you that. But just the way that he's played and the way that he's elevated his game this year, he's most certainly an all-star. There just aren't enough spots to accommodate it.
Yeah, well, Rod, the social media stuff's been great. I'll say from my own experience, I had a game earlier this year where I was kind of rushing back to get home to check out the fourth quarter, and checked on Twitter as I was heading home and saw that Rod had already dropped the start writing. So I realized I didn't have to rush home to catch the end of that game. So appreciate that. Appreciate you saving me a little bit of exercise there too. So Rod, the Detroit News beat writer for the Pistons, you can find him on Twitter at Det News Rod Beard as well. And I want to thank you for taking the time to hear or for joining us on Locked On Pistons. And thanks on behalf of all of the Pistons fans on Twitter and everything out there for providing us some entertainment and interaction as well.
Hey, I appreciate it. Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Rod Beard of the Detroit News, thanks again for taking the time, and thanks to all you guys for listening to the Locked On Pistons episode. We'll be back with a recap of the Utah Jazz game on Thursday, and I'll have some more thoughts as the trade deadline gets closer as well. Go ahead and listen to Locked On Lions as Matt Derry has your daily look at the Leos. Go ahead and join us on draft.com as well. Use promo code LOPISTONS, follow me on the app, and we'll invite you into our Locked On Pistons draft room this week and every Wednesday for the next few weeks as well. Follow us at the Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net on Twitter, and follow our new Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook as well. That's S-C-H-O-C-H there. So thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the Donovan Mitchell show tonight, and we'll talk to you all again soon.